a lot to say this morning, so I'm going to try to really cram it in there. It's a three-part series, but there's so much to talk about when we're talking about holiness. So today, the subtitle of today's message will be Do Not Be Deceived, all right? Do not be deceived. Holy, holy, holy. Do not be deceived. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 real quick, and then put your finger there or something, or if you're on a phone, do whatever. You don't put your finger there. And then go to Galatians chapter 6. So Hebrews 12 and then Galatians chapter 6. All right? Hebrews 12, 14. This is what it says. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Now, it's really important for you to pay attention to this scripture and especially to that last phrase. Those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Then go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And this is what it says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Okay, so this scripture is saying do not be deceived at the very beginning. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Whatever you sow, you reap. Okay, so I think it's important for us to see that the beginning of this scripture in verse 7 of chapter 6 of Galatians, the words do not be deceived. All right, now I want to go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, 9 says, this great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. So this scripture clearly tells us that Satan, the devil, okay, the ancient serpent, is the one deceiving the whole world, and he was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels, okay? So we see that he was cast out of heaven, thrown down to the earth, and he is here on this earth, reigning right now on the earth to deceive, okay? John chapter 8, verse 43. Go to that chapter. This is Jesus speaking, and this is what he says. He's talking to the Pharisees, and the group of people that are gathered around him, and he says this, why can't you understand what I am saying? Now, stop right there. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? How many of you know that when Jesus asks the question, he already knows the answer? Right? There's not a question he asks that he doesn't already know the answer. And this one's a rhetorical question, because he gives them the answer. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So I would just say this to you. He's talking to these Pharisees and this group of people that are gathered around. They're talking about something, and we'll get to that in a second. But he makes the statement to them, I would say this, if this were said to one of us today, a follower of Jesus Christ today, a follower, how many of you consider yourself a follower? Raise your hands. Okay. If this were said to you, all right, there's not a person in this place that wouldn't be offended. Right? If this was said to us, if Jesus said, why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. Because your children are of your father, the devil. Come on, right? Right there. We're all like, what did you just say to me? So, rightly so, at the time, the Pharisees and those who were listening were offended by this. But you need to understand where Jesus is coming from. You need to see what he's truly trying to say here. And I'm going to show you and talk about this in today's message, that Jesus in he's just not criticizing these people. He's not saying this to hurt their feelings. He's not saying this for any other reason but to show the great chasm between holiness and sin. He's showing the great gap there is between him and what they're choosing to do in their lives. And as a good father, right, Father God is using Jesus in this moment to do this, to speak into their lives, to try to wake them up, to try to get their attention, to try to show them what's happening in their lives so that they will turn, do a 180 and go in the other direction and follow him. Okay? So let's look at this. In John, in the same chapter, let's just go a few verses prior to that, in verse 34, and this is what it says. It says, Jesus replied to them, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So watch, see, a slave is not a permanent part of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. He's showing them the difference. All right? So if the son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham. And yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. This is important to see what Jesus is saying here. He's saying to them, you can't hear me. There's no room in your heart for my message. You've crowded out all the room there is for the message of God because of everything you've poured into your heart or placed in your heart or received into your heart. You've received things that have crowded out room or space for God's truth. And this is what he's saying to them. He says, I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father. Verse 38, I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father. Now, why is this so important? Because we see here that when we sin, we're following the advice of another father. We're following the advice of the ancient serpent. We're following the advice of the one called the devil or Satan. When we sin, that's what we're doing. We're listening to the wrong father, is what the Lord's saying here, okay? And we need to understand this. Satan is a liar. There's no truth in him, the Word of God says. And I want to make this clear. Satan is not some fairy tale. He's not a myth. Okay, he's real. He's very real. He is not a myth. He's not a little guy in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. Okay? He's not some harmless thing out there. He's definitely not friendly, okay? He is a lying, cheating, cunning, scheming deceiver.
That's right.
That's who he is.
Right.
And his desire is to destroy us. Destroy us. He's not playing with us. This is not a game, okay? But he doesn't want you to see that. There's no good in him. There's only hate in him. But he doesn't want you to see that side of him until it's too late. He doesn't want you to see who he truly is. He wants you to think that he doesn't exist. But if you don't think, if you won't believe that he doesn't exist, and you believe he does exist, he at least wants you to believe that he has nothing to do with your life. Or that he can't control you, or that he can't deceive you. He wants you to believe that you're in control. He wants you to believe that you're in control of your decisions. He wants you to think that you're in control of your life. He wants you to believe that all of your thoughts are under your control. Okay? It's the deceit of the enemy. He's here to destroy us, and the way he does it is through deceit. All right, you with me so far? Okay, so he loves to puff us up. He loves to get us to walk in pride. He loves to get us to feel like we've got this whole thing under control and that we've got a grasp on this life, okay? Now, here's some ways that he does it. One of the things that he loves is he loves for us to be educated. Now, before you get all, okay, anybody in education, anybody teachers or educators in any way, okay? A few people, all right? I'm not knocking education. All right, study to show thyself approved, right? It's good to study. It's good to be educated. But education without holiness is fruitless. You understand that? Education without the power and the leading of Holy Spirit in your life is worthless. That's true. Shake your head like this. It's true. What happens is this. We get educated without God, without the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? Without His divine intervention in our lives, if we are fully educated and become more and more educated, what the world does, what Satan does through the world, is he tries to educate God out of the equation. Right? He gets us puffed up, and we start, and I've seen this happen many, many times, and we start to think that we know better. We start to think that man, this can't be real. God can't exist. The more educated we become without him leading us. I've even seen theologians, pastors, okay, educate themselves and study, even study the Word of God, okay, a lot. And it blows my mind, because without Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us as we even study this Word, if he's not leading, then we can miss God completely. We can miss what he's doing completely. And I've seen sound, good theologians or pastors who at one point really loved the Lord and trusted him and believed his word by faith, I've seen them go the other direction. And I know men who were followers of Jesus Christ and pastors who now say there is no God. How does that happen? Deceit. They were deceived by the enemy. To such a point, they were followers and they knew the Word of God, but they did not know the Word of God intimately through the power of Holy Spirit. And the enemy just totally educated them right out of it. He loves for us to think that we are in control. That's what he did with these Pharisees. The enemy puffed them up with pride. And they thought they knew so much. Think about this. They thought they knew so much that Jesus, the Son of the living God, is standing right before them and they can't even see him. They can't see him. They're so educated in the Word. They're so puffed up with pride, and they're looking right at the Son of God himself and they miss him. And I'm here to tell you today that the same thing has happened for ages and can happen to you and to me. If we're not careful, if we're not doing something I'm going to talk about here in a moment, then we're going to miss God himself. This is what Satan did to the Pharisees, but I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how it all began. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it tells us of Satan's choice. It says this, it says, "How did you come to fall from the heavens, morning star, son of the dawn? How did you come to be cut down to the ground, conqueror of nations? You thought to yourself, I will scale the heavens and I will raise my throne above God's stars. I will sit on the mount of the assembly, far away in the north. I will rise past the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Did you notice the "I wills" in this scripture? There are five of them. Five times it says that Satan says, "I will, I will, I will, I will." The Word of God says this. It's very important scripture. It says, "I can do all things through," come on, say it, "through Christ who strengthens me." Okay? The only thing I can do is through him. You got that? Without Jesus, I am nothing. Without Jesus, I am nothing. And the enemy wants us to think we can be something on our own, because he knows the only chance he has to destroy us is to separate us from God. Right? It's what he did in the very beginning, didn't he? He deceived. He separated. He's been deceiving for ages and ages, thousands, millions, billions of people. He's a deceiver, and he's deceived. Eve was deceived at the very beginning, Genesis 3:13. It says, "Then the Lord God asked the woman, 'What have you done?' 'The serpent deceived me,' she replied." That's why I ate it. The serpent deceived me. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve were already with God. They were already created in his image, according to the word of God, right? They're walking with God in the cool of the day, in the garden. Okay, he is their God. They are his children. They're with him. There's no sin. There's nothing. And this, the serpent, the ancient serpent, Satan, deceives them. And they believe a lie over the truth of God's word. And immediately they become separated from God. And we see that. They went and hid themselves. They tried to make clothes for themselves out of leaves. Right? And God is looking for them and saying, where did you go? And this is when the scripture we see that, what did you do? And Eve says, I was deceived. Satan's been deceiving people from the beginning. He's been doing it ever since then, that time. And here's some of the things he says. He says things like this: you don't have to serve God. You have the right to do what you want. He's told every one of us that lie. He says, what kind of God would make you serve him? He says, there is no God. It's all a myth. He says, you can serve God in many ways. All religion is equal. How many of you heard that one? Right? Or all religions serve the same God. They just have different names for him.
Come on.
Right? You've seen it years ago. I don't know how many years ago, but years ago, this movement took place called Coexist. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've seen the bumper stickers on the cars and all of the slogans and the campaigns and all that, Coexist. What does that mean? It means that all these religions can coexist because we all serve the same God. That's not true.
That's right. Amen.
It's not true. In fact, Deuteronomy 11:16 says, be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. Be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived. Okay? So let me just show you something. Islam is the fastest growing religion on the planet. It is. Islam. Fastest growing on the planet, by far. Okay? And the Quran is the Muslim's Bible. All right? So, I don't know if anybody knows anything about the Quran, but I'm going to read a couple passages to you this morning. But I want to say this to you. Do not go and get a Quran and start reading it. Do you hear me? Look at somebody next to you. Look at somebody next to you, around you. Say, don't do it. Don't do it. You say, well, are you trying to keep us from stuff? And no, I'm not trying to keep you from brainwashing. No, I'm not trying to brainwash you. No, this is the only word you need. Okay? It's the Bible. It's the only word you need. But I will say this to you, and it's very true, and I've used it before, but I'm going to say it again. You know me. I'm going to repeat it over and over and over again. One of these days, we're going to get it. But do you know, in a bank, when they're teaching bank tellers how to spot a counterfeit bill, they don't bring, 1,000 counterfeit bills in and put them in front of them and tell them to study the counterfeits so that they can spot a counterfeit when it comes in. You know what they do? They bring the real thing in, and they make them study the real thing. So when the counterfeits come across the counter, they can easily spot it. You don't need to study the counterfeits to know this is the truth. Study the truth, and you'll be able to spot the counterfeits. You understand? So even though I'm going to quote this today, it's for the purpose of you seeing something powerful here. You need to see this because you don't know these things. And if you don't know these things, I mean, you should be able to just trust the word of God when he's telling you not to be deceived. But I want to show you something. Watch. The Quran describes Allah, the Muslim's God, as the best deceiver there is. This is in the Quran. A liar who is not above using the same evil and wicked schemes as his opponents. For example, the Quran calls Allah a mocker. M-A-K-R. Mocker. Okay? In fact, it says he's the best mocker of all. Now, it does sound like an English word we have, and it's funny because it's kind of like that in a way, because the enemy in this false religion is mocking God, the one true living God. He's mocking him by deceiving millions and millions of people to follow this. Okay? Now watch. A verse in the Quran states this: but they, the Jews, were deceptive, and Allah was deceptive. For Allah is the best of deceivers. Just reach over to somebody and knock them on the head. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't. Do it yourself. Hello, McFly. Right? This is in their Bible. Allah is the best of deceivers. All right? Here's another text. Are they secure? Are they then secure from Allah's deception? Makra Allahai. None deemeth himself secure from Allah's deception. This is in the Bible, in the Quran Bible. Okay? It goes on. There's several of them. And then it calls him a mocker several times. And this is what mocker, the actual definition that they give is to practice deceit or guile or circumvention. So this is Allah, their God, is the greatest deceiver of them all. He's a mocker. He practices deceit or guile or circumvention. The Quran's description of Allah best fits the one from the Lord Jesus that we just read a few minutes ago in John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In light of what we just read or saw from the Quran, it seems rather hard to deny that the spirit that spoke to Muhammad, the entity who was revealed in the Muslim scriptures, is none other than Satan himself, the ancient serpent, the enemy of our souls. And he's masquerading as God in order to deceive millions of people away from the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a false religion, straight from the pit of hell. And it's blatantly, blunt, in our face, mocking God. And we want to put a bumper sticker on our car that says, let's just coexist with this? No. No. I know you know this already. I know you feel it in your spirit right now in this place today. But God is calling us to be separate, to be set apart, a holy people, a royal priesthood. We are not to coexist with evil. We're not to play nice with sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 says this. It says, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. I mean, when you read the scripture in light of what we've just been talking about, it takes on a whole new light, doesn't it? You can see how Paul is stirred up in his spirit, and how the Lord is divinely speaking through him under the anointing of Holy Spirit. And he's writing down what God is saying from the throne of heaven through him onto that paper. And we read it here today. God is a jealous God. He is the only God, the one true living God. There is no other. And he's saying to his people, stop putting up with whatever anyone tells you. Take a stand against the sin of this world. I mean, let me say this to you clearly. There is only one true living God.
Amen.
One. His name is I Am.
Yes.
His name is Jehovah. His name is Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, El Shaddai, El Elyon, El Roi, El Olam. He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is our shepherd. He is Jehovah Sitkanu. The Lord is our righteousness. He's Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace. He's Jehovah Emkadesh. The Lord who sanctifies and makes me holy. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He's Jehovah Rapha. The Lord who heals. He's Jehovah Nisi. The Lord our banner. He is the one true living God. And there's only one way to get to this God named Jehovah, and that's through HaMashiach, Yahshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
There's only one way. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
And he is the only one that can get you to the Father. And he's the only one that can remove the scales from your eyes that sin has caused in your life so that you can clearly see Father God face to face and you can clearly see his word. If you're reading this word and there's sin in your life that's perpetual sin, I'm not talking about you making a mistake every once in a while. We all make mistakes and sin every once in a while. And I'm not excusing it. It's not okay. Sin is never okay. We're not playing patty cake with it. We deal with it when we see it. We put it under our feet. We turn around, repent, and go in the other direction from it. But I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. In this place, we've all had it. We've had that sin that stayed there. Come on, y'all, shake your head like you know what I'm talking about. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Don't sit there and act like it's never happened in your life. That sin that stayed there in your life, and when you're reading the Word of God and you got this sin that is present in your heart, you're crowding out the ability to see God in His Scripture. And you're reading it. I've had people tell me, man, I read it, but I fall asleep. I read it, I don't understand it. I read it, I can't get it. And I say to them, well, what's going on in your life that you can't see God in the Scripture? Because he's not hiding himself from you.
Oh, that's good.
So you're being deceived in some way because there's a lack of holiness in your life. Because when you live a holy life, you clearly see God.
Yes.
Clearly. In fact, you know this. You know there have been times. I mean, how many of you in your life, in your spiritual walk, you've done some of these numbers? Anybody done any of these things? The whoop-de-doos? Woo! They sound fun, but they're not, are they? You know? Because when you're up here, like, woo, this is great. But when you're down here, like, ooh, I hate this. God didn't mean for us to do this in our lives. He meant for us to do this. And so he wants us to see this. And I want to say this. I just talked about Islam, but I'm not, I could talk about Buddhism or Hinduism or many other false religions, and I could go into all those, but I don't need to go into all that. All you need to know is the truth. And the truth will set you
free.
But it's not just about false religions, because there's a great deceit even in many who call themselves Christian leaders. Oh yeah, I'm going to go there. So get ready. I'm going there. There are many who are leading people astray by the thousands and even millions that call themselves Christians, and they cleverly disguise the sin in their lives. And before you say, well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers, I know the scriptures. I know who we wrestle against. But you need to understand, and I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. Okay? I'm going to show it to you. You know I am. We can't play around with this. And there's this misunderstanding that we just need to just let them do what they're doing and mind our own business and stay on the path that God has us on. But that's not what the Word of God says. It doesn't say that at all. In fact, we're doing a disservice to the kingdom of God if we just let that kind of stuff happen and not say anything about it and not do anything about it. I'm gonna read it to you and show it to you, but let me show you in the scripture right now, 2 Corinthians 11:13. Now, remember, I was just talking to you about Paul being just all stirred up in 2 Corinthians 11:2, okay? So just remember this. This is not some other discussion or conversation, okay? He's talking about God is a jealous God, right? And just a few scriptures later, this is what he said. These people are false apostles. He's not talking about another religion. How do I know? Very next sentence. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. Now, I'm just telling you, we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived. We cannot allow ourselves to be deceived by false religions, by false apostles who disguise themselves as Christians. We cannot allow ourselves to be deceived. So how do we do that? I just said it to you just a moment ago. We have to live in holiness. Without holiness, we will not see the Lord. Right. Y'all listening to me this morning? At the very beginning, I said it's important for us to remember the word see. Without holiness, we will not see the Lord. This is not just talking about without holiness, we will not be with God for eternity in heaven. It's not really, actually, when you read it, it's talking, the word is hurrah. Hurrah. Hey, that's a pretty good word, isn't it? The word see is hurrah. Everybody say hurrah.
Hurrah.
There you go. Like you're in the military. What is that? Is that all military or is that just Marines that do that? Anybody know? Marines? Okay. Any Marines in here? Okay. Is that what they do, Jerry? Give me one. Give me a gun. Okay. All right. Without holiness, we will not. Do it, Jerry. Without holiness, we will not. The Lord. We will not hurrah the Lord. It means to perceive. It means to perceive. To see him in that way, to perceive. Jesus was right in front of the Pharisees.
Come on.
And they didn't even perceive it.
Yeah.
They didn't perceive him. They didn't see him. We need to understand this, that this deception can be so great that God himself can come in the flesh and stand in front of you and you miss it. And I don't want anybody to miss it. I don't want myself to miss him. Come on, you want to miss him? So look at somebody today and say, don't miss him. Don't miss him. All right? This is what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, the Lord says, but people who aren't spiritual or who don't have the Spirit can't receive the truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. You know what he's talking about? Only those who are living in holiness can see him, can perceive him, can perceive his word and his truths. You could read this Bible all day long, but if you're not living in holiness, then you're not going to perceive him. You're not going to see it. And it's going to sound like foolishness to you. You're going to be like, I don't understand it, but I'm telling you, not just because the Word of God says it, I'm telling you from experience, the moment you make a step and decide, I'm going to live in holiness, I'm going to live like God called me to live in that state of holiness. And the moment you do that, you start reading the word and it jumps off the pages to you. You start to see things and perceive things you never saw before. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You've read the word before, and you might have read it 100 times, that same scripture, and then all of a sudden you read it one day, and you're like, what? Guess what changed? The word didn't change. Your perception of it changed. And your perception changed because your heart changed. Y'all, this is a powerful word from the Lord. I am enjoying this cooking myself this morning. Because I need this. Because I believe all of us have these times in our lives. Even as followers, you've been following for a long time. How many of you have been following the Lord for longer than 5 years? Raise your hand. Look at that around the building. There's times you can be following for a long, long time. And you slip into this area that the Lord doesn't want you to slip into. Maybe it's through comfort. Maybe it's, you know, you're weary. I don't know. Maybe you've been in a long battle. Whatever it is, the Lord never wants you to slip into an area of complacency. Why? Because you're ripe for deception. Right? You're tired, you're weary, you've been battling because this is a battle. Right? This is a battle we're in. This is a war we're in for humanity. And so in this battle, you get tired and weary. You just need to, you know, there are moments you got to take a break, right? Take a break. But taking a break doesn't mean you stop living a holy life. Taking a break doesn't mean, oh, let me go sin a little bit to take a break from this holiness. Because you just opened yourself up to deception. And the enemy will come in, and this is what happens to people. Oh, this is really good. This is what happens to people, and this is what I've seen happen in pastors and leaders, is they slip into this complacency, which leads to a little bit of dabbling in sin, which leads to a deception that they don't realize they're under. That's why they call it deception. And so all of a sudden, they still think they're in the place they used to be in, but they're way over here in this place, still proclaiming it in the name of Jesus and doing things in the name of Jesus that don't look like Jesus. Yeah. It alarms me when leaders and people in the church can say, this is Jesus, but it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I've said this to you before. You can call it love all day long, but if it doesn't look like the love of God in here, it's not the love of God out here. And it doesn't matter how many times you say it. It doesn't make it real or truth. You're just living in deception, and you want other people to keep following or keep listening. Yeah. 1 John 3, look at this. 1 John 3:6 says, anyone who continues to live in him, that's the Lord, I am, Jehovah, Jesus, anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. Okay, so if you're living in him, what's it mean live in him? In holiness. If you're living a holy life, you will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. I'm just going to stop right there. So, you mean you will never sin again? Here's what I'm saying. If you're living in holiness, okay, it's the pure place of God. Right?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're with me because you got to catch this, okay? So you're living in holiness, it's a pure place of God. You're in that place with God, and a temptation comes to sin. You all know this. You don't just accidentally sin. Okay, do I need to stop right here and teach a whole new lesson? Y'all, you don't just accidentally sin. You're not just walking along and, whoops, I just fell into sin. Didn't see that there. No. All right? It doesn't accidentally happen. You make a choice. You choose. I choose. So if you're living in that place of holiness and then you're tempted to sin, you have a choice to make to stay in holiness or step out of holiness.
Come on.
Oh, come on, y'all.
True.
So when you read a scripture in verse 6, 1 John 3:6 says, anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. You continue. You choose to continue. Temptation comes, and what do with it? You either choose to stay in holiness in him and go, get away from me. Right?
Yeah.
You're not coming in this bubble. Get out. Right now. Or you choose to go, okay, I'll go with you. So you're not in him anymore. Okay, and then this is what it goes on to say, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. So watch this. You're in him. You're in him. You're in holiness. Okay? Temptation comes. You give in. Step out of holiness into sin. All right? But the scripture says, but anyone who keeps on sinning. So you have a choice right then. The Lord's so good to us, even in that moment that we take that choice to step into that sin, he's still going, nope, nope, don't do that. Come back. Nope, nope, wrong move. Nope. You know that it's called, what's that called?
Conviction.
Conviction. Not condemnation, conviction. You're being convicted by Holy Spirit. Don't go that way, Bill. Don't do it. Bill, stop. Come back. Okay, you know, you sinned. You made a mistake. Repent. Come back. And we can just go, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. What was I thinking? How many of you have done that? Come on. Everybody in this place. Lord, forgive me. What was I thinking? Oh, I just, and here's what we do. Here's what we know in our heart. We may not say it with our lips, but we know in our heart, man, I just got deceived. I just got deceived by the enemy. Right? And now here's what the enemy will do. I got to go down this path. Here's what the enemy will do. As Holy Spirit would convict us and bring us back, the enemy will, once we come back like this, the enemy will condemn us. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The enemy will condemn us. See? You see what you did? You can't live this life. You can't live a holy life. You can't live like that. Me. All right? Why? Because he wants to deceive us to step back out again. And then what he does is, if we don't go back, if we don't listen to conviction of Holy Spirit and go back to living a holy life, then he slowly leads us away, okay? And before you know it, we're way over here. Anyone who continues to sin will not see him or know him. And before you know it, you're at this place where you don't even see the Lord. You don't hear him. But the danger with this, with followers of Jesus, is they think they do.
Yeah.
And somebody's speaking to them. And they think it's the Lord. But I'm telling you, the Lord's not speaking to them.
Come on.
Come on, y'all. I'm going to bring this right back to the beginning. They're listening to the advice of another father. And they think it's the Heavenly Father. And it's not. He disguises himself to deceive. The enemy disguises himself to deceive. And there are many people over here in this camp. And they're false apostles. And they're listening to the advice of the serpent, the ancient serpent, another father. And so that's why they think it's okay to tell lies. They think these type of people will justify their lies as something that they're doing for the Lord. If someone tells a lie, it's sin. Amen?
Amen.
You're tempted, you tell a lie. It's sin. But if you just repent, okay, and deal with that, and confess, you know, especially if you lied about somebody. Hello? I gotta say this. I'm just teaching right here. If you did this and you lied about somebody and you repent and say, Lord, forgive me for telling that lie about Craig. Forgive me, Lord, for doing that. It's not enough to just do that. Then I need to make a journey over here. Say, Craig, will you please forgive me? I told a lie about you. Will you forgive me, Craig? Thank you. I appreciate that. Then you're okay. But for you to think that you can do that, step back into holiness and let that stay there, the Lord's not okay with that.
Make it right.
And the enemy will try to deceive you that you can stay in holiness even though you didn't correct that. All right? So if you tell a lie, okay, it's sin. But if you continue to do so, then you're a liar. And you're not living in holiness, and you're not one of God's holy people. And you're listening to the father of lies because there's no truth in him. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others, and will they themselves or will themselves be deceived? But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you." Okay, so here's what this means. It means holy ones, those who are living in holiness, will be persecuted, will suffer persecution. We know that.